It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
All right, Fairbanks, welcome to the Compo Outdoor Show. My name is Craig Compo, and today we are going to talk about shallow water boating. We've got a couple of different subjects, but the first part of the show is going to be shallow water boating, which is a passion of mine. You know, our family started in the boat business back in 1945. My grandfather was just, obsessed with going further and further up the river. He developed the outboard motor lift, and then we went into the outboard jet units. We got that company off the ground back in California. And, of course, the rest is history. They've really been a lot of advancements. But I love taking folks up the river, friends of mine, new people that haven't been on the river. And today in the studio, I have Bill Satterberg. Bill, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yeah. So Bill, Bill's got a boat similar to one of our SJX jet boats. I'm not sure how much boating you did before you got that boat, but you're doing a lot more boating now. Tell us about it.
Well, one reason is this boat runs. The other ones I had either didn't run or kept parking themselves on sandbars.
Yeah. Well, I know it was about a few years ago. You went up where I go. I hunt the upper good pasture. I like the technical water. Once you get the split, my grandpa always called the splits, or the fork in the river, which is about 45 miles up. Then it gets real technical. It's prettier, more sandbars, challenging. There's trees down. There's more animals. So that's where he liked to boat. That's where my dad liked to boat. That's where I like to boat. And it's just beautiful. And you get away from the rat race, what I call it, the rat race. Like you heard, I think, Bill, about the new ordinance coming out on the Chena to eliminate. Okay, that was an April Fool's joke. Eliminate.
Get rid of the floaters, yeah.
Yeah, non-powered boats. Yeah, that was a big joke that went over pretty well. Anyway, so.
I don't know if you know if it went over pretty well or not. I'm still getting calls about
lawsuit. Yeah, we are too. But that's people don't remember April Fool's Day, and I never forget it.
Does my mom.
Yeah. Okay, well, tell us about your first trip up there with us a few years ago. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah, I had an SJX, and the one thing that was good, Craig, is that I stuffed my nose right into the back of your boat and followed you all the way up the stream. And we had a headsets that you were able to communicate with me as far as watch out for this turn up here, watch out for that, and occasionally, no, don't go the way I just did, that type of thing. But it was a fun trip.
Well, and that's what I always tell folks, if you buy a new boat and you're a novice boater, go with somebody that knows that area initially, or go with somebody that knows that can run the boats, because there's a lot of little tricks, and the biggest risk on a river is sweepers, the trees and stumps and debris that hang off the side of the river, because if you lose power and you're floating into those, especially in a fast current, bad things can happen real fast. I remember a story my dad told me once. He ran what they called the boat shop at Fort Greely for a couple, 3 years. He had a bunch of military guys in a boat, 8 or 10 of them in a boat, and they were on the Tanana, and the motor conked out. And he told the guys, watch for sweepers. I got to get back there. And, of course, the motor's on a big lift, and he's hanging over the back of the boat with the hood off, changing spark plugs or whatever. He's back there not looking at the river. Well, these guys start telling stories to each other, jokes or whatever, and they weren't paying attention. And they came by on the Tanana, a bad set of sweepers, and it took my dad right off, because he was high up in the boat. It took him right off the boat into the river. And then he had the old May West inflatable vests, which they all had back then. He got sucked under the sweeper, and it pushed him up against the bottom of the sweeper. And he was holding his breath. The current was holding him up against there. The force, he says, was incredible. And how he did this is beyond me, but he hung on with one hand, reached in his pocket while underwater, got his Camp King knife, I still have this knife, popped the vest, the chest pockets, and then was able to kick himself out and got to the shore. By then, the boat's a quarter mile down the river. They had to walk down the river. They were able to paddle over, and I think he chewed their butts a little bit. But anyway, but every time I'm on the Tanana, I think of that story. I always think of that. So there are dangers on the river, but sweepers are the number one danger. But anyway, beyond that, let's talk about the trip up. Then, do you remember the first time we went way up the river?
It's pretty traumatic. I'm still having some nightmares.
Well, I'm always cautious and looking back for, as we got new people in boats, you want to make sure they take the right channel. There's a lot of different technical things you have to do on the water. You obviously have to always plan your turns. Many times the river splits and you have to decide which way to go, and You typically, what I tell people as a shallow water tip is to watch the surface of the water. Where the heavy current is going, the faster, kind of the darker current, that's where the water's at. I had a native customer, a good friend of mine, Tommy Kriska, one time. I had a guy from the States that was buying a boat, and he was going to go up the Yuki River out of Galena. Never been on the Tanana, never been on the Yukon or anything, and he was kind of worried, and he was saying, well, how do I read the river, he's asking me. Tommy Kriska was standing next to me, and in three words, he said in three words, probably the best three words you could have said for running the Tanana, and that is, follow the sticks. Because what happens, the little particles, the sticks and pieces, they follow that faster, heavy current. That's usually where the water's at. It can get you in trouble sometimes if the water spreads out and you're off too far to one side.
But. You know, speaking of sticks, years ago I used to have a jet boat, Yukon jet, which we named Ram Boat, and it's coming down the Sulcha. It came around a corner. There's a place up there called Cop Key Slough.
Yep.
And I just hit the entire log jam there.
Tried to move it, did you?
That was kind of an interesting story because I did a fair amount of damage to the boat, which I owned with my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law is one of these guys that has pictures of wrenches painted on the walls on the pegboard in his garage. You know, I'm not that way. Every time I can't find a wrench, I buy another one. So anyway, I didn't want to tell my wife about that because the family always thought that Gary did such a great job and Bill was kind of the scallywag. And, of course, Bill had really customized the boat, caved in the side, tore off the windshield, a bunch of stuff, still had a bunch of logs in there. So I took the boat over to a friend's house, and every night I'd tell my wife I had to go downtown to my office and work. And I'd go down, then I'd run over to Pat's house, and I'd work on the boat all night, and I came back. Well, finally, one night my wife says to me, she goes, Bill, where's the boat? And I said, well, it's over at Pat's house. And she says, well, can we go see it?
Uh-oh.
And I go, yeah. So I get on the phone, and I call Pat, and I say, Pat, you get out there, push that boat. We just finished it the night before. I said, push it back in the trees, put a bunch of dust and mud on it, leaves, whatever, make it look like it's been parked there. I'll bring the wife out. I'm going to stop off at the office, do a couple things, but we're going to have to show up. We came racing out there, and I finally pulled up. My wife says, oh, there's the boat. That's great. I was just worried. She said, gee, I thought you wrecked the boat. So, Brenda, would I do something like that? I wouldn't do anything like that. Would I? And rhetorical question.
Yeah.
And so later on, we had some marital issues, and we're in marital counseling. And one day I'm saying—
A lot of boating incidents start marital counseling.
Oh, they do. They do. Yeah,
usually at the boat landing when the wife is yelling at you when you're trying to put the boat on the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that was it. So we're in marital counseling, and we're, you know, tell us the truth type thing. I said, well, honey, I need to tell you something. Years ago, you probably thought I was having an affair because I go to work every night, and then I come back, and you know, I was gone all these nights. But I said, I got to tell you the truth, honey. I had wrecked the boat, and I didn't want to tell you. I was very embarrassed about this. And she goes, well, Bill, she says, I didn't want to tell you this, but she said, I was convinced you were having an affair. But she said, I called up Pat's wife one night to complain about the fact that you were out messing around. She goes, no, he's not. He's been over here every night fixing the boat. He slammed in the slough. So we agreed that she would call me once the boat was fixed, and then we'd see just how you handled it.
Nice.
So anyway.
And
a lot of secrets in boating.
Yeah, yeah. You got to keep it straight with your wife.
Keep what?
Yeah. Anyway, listen. I wanted to talk about one other thing that you've been involved with since now. You've got some boating experience. Let's talk about the Special Forces Project.
Can we?
Yeah. Well, we don't have to go into a lot of detail, but
yeah, the last couple of years, there's been some training groups that have been coming to town, and Craig, and then later myself, will run these guys up the river and drop them off at some location. And it's kind of funny because I remember the trip we did last year. We were instructed not to talk to them unless they talked to us. And these three guys got in the boat and they talked up a storm. They want to know what Alaska's like and where do you do this and that. And we're supposed to be pretending to be insurgents or something, running these guys into some drop-off point.
Yeah, but it's pretty neat. Like the one year we did it, they were supposed to be dropped from 30,000 feet.
A halo, yeah.
Out of Delta somewhere, they land in a barley field or whatever, and they get in a white van, picks them up, and they run them over to the edge of the river. They hop in our boat. We take them, you know, to another location, or they walk through the woods at Eielson, hop and get on the river. So it's kind of neat. They're doing exercises as if they were just dropped into Afghanistan or Ukraine or something.
Well, what's interesting, too, is these are three-man teams. A traditional A-team and B-team in Special Forces are a 12-man team, but these groups are three-man team that are very small. They're what they call Jedburgs. They drop into villages and kind of become one of the members over there. And Craig and I have, well, we both met some very interesting people in that process.
Yeah, we have. I remember one trip we picked them up 40 mile in the, or 38 mile, whatever, on the Chin Hot Springs at the bridge there. And, you know, they, when we picked them up down by Eielson and drove them back to our vehicles, and we jumped logs. We saw moose. There was beavers and eagles, and they were just, you know, they're from that country where they don't see that all the time, or that part of the country. So it was pretty exciting.
There's a Two Rivers, the Botel. Let's see, Pike's Landing.
River prank. I wanted to talk to you about one of the best pranks we ever did on the river. This was a couple, 3 years ago. We were up the Good Pastor River, and Bill, I think your dog was dying or something, so you couldn't make it initially.
That was last year, wasn't it?
No, it was a couple years ago. Anyway.
Yeah, 2 years ago. You're right. Two years ago.
So anyway, so Bill let us use his boat. We had one of our other drivers, and we, of course, when you go up the first time for hunt camp, you're loaded. You know, you got 2,500 pounds of between, you know, fuel and food and ice and
beer.
Non-alcoholic beer. And yeah, sure. And anyway, we're hauling all. So Bill let us use his boat, and he was going to fly in. There's a runway a couple miles from our camp where he flew in later. So the first, his boat was tied up there with our other two or three boats. And so the next morning we're inside our little camp there, and we had the generator going. So you can't hear anything outside our camp there. We've got a little igloo, fiberglass igloo up there, 20-footer. And so I decided it was a great time to pull a trick on Bill. So while he's in there having coffee, and it's still not even light out, I started up his boat, and I just idled it up around the bend about 50 yards and just tied it up to the bank. Went back in, had coffee and breakfast already. We come out, it's just starting to get light, perfect hunting. And all of a sudden, Bill goes, "Where the hell's my boat?" And we're looking around like, oh my God, who tied it up? And everybody in camp knew this except Bill. And here's this, you know, $50,000, $60,000 boat he had just bought, talked the wife into getting it, and it's missing. So we sent everybody else up hunting, and me and one other fella and Bill went downriver to look for his boat. I think we went about 20 minutes down the river, got to a really bad log jam, which I was telling Bill along the way, if it hit that, it's upside down in the water.
And then you say, but don't worry, we can probably get it out.
We have winches and stuff. So anyway, we get there, it's not there. Bill wants to continue downriver. I said, no, I'm real low on fuel. We got to go back and fuel up. And of course, as we go back up river, I go just past the camp, and he sees a boat that looks just like his. And he points at it. He's so confused, and he looks back at us.
What did I say? You can't say it on the air.
I can't say it on the air. No. I can't even say it on the Howard Stern show. I couldn't say it. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. So we have fun up the river doing all the pranks. And you know what we do? We haul a lot of our fuel behind snow machines in the spring. We just made a run the other. It's going to be an expensive trip this year. I'm telling you, price of fuel has doubled. You know, since last time. So, but it's fun. And you know, there's different things you got to look out for when you're hauling that much weight. You've got to, you know, you're drafting more water. The biggest issue is if you do get hung up. That's why we carry the 15-gallon polycubes instead of the 30s most of the time, because you know, 90 pounds you can move in and out of the boat if you had to.
I'll tell you, that capstan winch is a really good thing too. Yeah. I mean, you can do a lot of moving with that thing.
Yeah, we have a capstan winch in our camp, but we have a pulley up in the trees, so we don't, you know, we're getting at that age where we don't like to lift stuff anymore, you know, other than about a 12-ounce can. You don't really want
to. Well, yeah, but every year we try to get some young buck to come with us, you know.
Yeah. They figured out right away why they're there.
Exactly.
We're talking with Bill Satterberg. We're talking shallow water boating. The second half of the show, we're going to talk about a new business in town. In fact, today, Saturday, after 2 o'clock, and all Sunday, you'll be able to go out to the outdoor show and try it out. It's pretty cool. We're excited about it. But we will we'll take a short break in a minute. And I wanted to cover some of those things we talked about, and especially the just the taking somebody new up the river. Like I said, the lower river to me is kind of boring. Most people think it's beautiful, but once you get up to the upper end, I don't care if it's the Salcha, the Good Pastor, it's just absolutely beautiful. The fishing is better. The hunting's better. Just a good time.
And there's not a lot of people there.
Yeah, that's the best part right there. All right, well, we'll be back after we pay a few bills, and we'll talk with Bill Satterberg, another guest in the studio, so join us.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compos' passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right, and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly, and they'll tell a few dozen. Compos, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compose Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compose Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, Craig Compo doing the Compose Outdoor Show, and I've got a couple of guests. We're going to spotlight a new business that I'm involved with and a couple other guys here in the studio, Bill Satterberg and Pete Kelly. Welcome, Pete.
Glad to be here.
All right. So this is kind of an interesting concept. You know, the dynamics, I think we're all good for it. We have a new business called Shooters, and it's a really high-end shooting simulator. It's designed originally mostly for law enforcement training and so forth, so it's a real high quality stuff. But they have a really nice recreational side, and it's a practice. It's all airsoft, but with recoil and sound and everything. It's a 130-inch screen. It's a really neat technology that's growing all the time. It's really neat. And so I just want to talk about the business of Shooters and kind of how it got started. It actually officially starts on the 15th of April over there at the Roundup Steakhouse upstairs. We've got a nice room up there. But I remember Pete brought it up to me initially. We went to, we're out at Bobby's, and you mentioned this thing. It sounded real neat. Tell us about the first time you got involved with it, Pete.
Well, I've just started doing reloading, and my hope was that I could have more ammo for less money. And at about that time, there was no ammo, there was no powder, there were no primers, and you could get some brass. And I had gone online, and I happened to come across this website. It was called the Warrior Poets Society, and they were talking about a little thing called Smokeless Range, which is just a laptop program where you can shoot. Same technology, essentially, that we have, but not as sophisticated. And so you and I talked about, well, you know, there's going to be this demand for people to not burn up their ammo and still be able to practice.
Yeah, it's not just a cost thing. It's an availability issue.
Exactly, yeah. And so you and I began looking on different sites, and we came upon a place called Whiskey Shot.
Yeah, it's a bar in Nashville.
In Nashville, Tennessee. And they set the whole thing up with this technology, and people go there and they shoot, and they have leagues and those kinds of things. So it was pretty amazing to see it. They were using pistols that were not as active as the ones that we have. They didn't have recoil, and yet it was very satisfying nonetheless. And what we
so you made a trip back there?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. What we have come upon is that you can get airsoft guns that have recoil because they're run by CO2 and the pistol actually cycles, and so it's very realistic, and you got noise going off every time you pull the trigger. There's a boom, and
and so you can shoot up to six guns at a time. They're all laser, you know, they show a laser mark, all different colors, so you can compete against, you can have leagues, you can compete against one other person or five other people. And what I really liked about the situation, well, before we get into some of the scenarios, I wanted to bring Bill into this. So I mentioned it to Bill, and he was going back there. Tell us about your trip to You went to Colorado where the manufacturer is.
Well, initially, I also went back to Nashville Whiskey Shot.
Right.
And
yep.
The reason was I needed to make my mileage tier for Alaska Airlines. You know, the important stuff in life.
Yeah.
So I went back there, and of course, Brenda had to do it too, so she got the mileage as well. And we went to Whiskey Shot, which was an interesting location. It was a bar. And they had several screens set up around the bar, and Nashville's kind of like the bachelorette capital of the East Coast, and all these ladies would be in there shooting away with these guns.
But you convinced Brenda you were going there to get mileage.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, but the ladies were shooting with the guns, getting ready for marriage and divorce.
Yeah.
But the so what happened is I took a look at this thing, and I agreed. You know, what Pete said is quite accurate. It was amazing business they had going there. Made some inquiry and eventually realized that the company that manufactured those was a company in Colorado, TI. And so I took a second trip down to TI, I think about first middle of November or so, and went to the facilities. And it was primarily, they designed these things primarily for military and law enforcement. They are not commercial. There's very few commercial sets in the United States. But the reason is it's very high-end training simulation for police officers, for military folks and stuff like that. But they're transitioning into the private sector. And we're actually one of the first ones to have it in the private sector.
Yeah, and so we had a discussion and we said, you know, this is a growing technology. It's great in the winter for practice. You're not burning your brass. You know, it's something you can have fun with. You can go in there once a week. You can go in there once a month. There's some really neat scenarios. So what I like about TI, what I like about this company is they've got literally hundreds and hundreds of scenarios. And when I say scenarios, so you're standing, 15 feet from the screen. And you've got your Glock or your SIG or whatever you've got. You know, we've got about a dozen guns or so, and you're looking at the scenarios develop. It could be a hostage at Walmart. Hostage. It could be
active shooter in a library was one.
Yeah. Active shooter, a hospital.
Girls fighting on a dock.
Girls fighting on a dock. That's our favorite. Girls fighting on a dock. There's all kinds of. There's little hunting scenarios. There's zombies. There's just target practice. There's the old Wild West draw. Very realistic, and the accuracy is really, really good. The screen is calibrated to the projector. We've got our guy Josh that kind of runs that part of it, and is calibrated so you see exactly where your shot goes. It's a fatal shot or it's not. You know, it depends where you hit them. There's a Gunfighter Pro series. There's a series where you're in an alley, and there's people, the bad guys, you know, maybe up in an apartment building, he pops up and you see him up there. But this isn't like joystick stuff. This is real scenarios. It really feels like you're there.
Yeah, and when you pull that trigger on one of these guns, it barks in your hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's very valuable, particularly I think as we look at the future, people who run CCW classes are going to want to use this because particularly when you get somebody in for the first time and you don't want them on a live weapon yet, or maybe they've never even shot a gun before, they can get used to the fact that when they pull that trigger, something happens and they become more and more familiar, and it obviously you're less concerned about range accidents.
Right.
You know, there's another thing about this, I think, to maybe highlight how the level of technology that we're dealing with here. There are a few companies that make this, but this TI, from what we've been able to find out so far, they're the only ones that are kind of mid-application. So the same technology, there are machines or computers that are going to cost $200,000 or $300,000.
Right.
But guess what? You can't get them because it's the FBI that has them and
Special Forces, CIA, whatever.
And like that. And there are a few companies around that have these sites where they do training, but it's purely law enforcement. Interestingly enough, there was, and I don't remember where it was in Georgia somewhere, that a police force actually bought a smaller application of this from a different company because a police force, couldn't buy this technology and use it. But it's the same exact technology that we have. The scenarios are different, and of course the training applications are different. However, we do have this the law enforcement in particular.
You know, one thing I like about it too is that let's say you've got the six pistols up there, each one has a different color, so when you hit the screen with your laser, it'll tell where your shot went. But the other thing it does is from the moment the threat presents itself, let's say a person's pulling a gun out of a holster, that's, you can measure how fast the reaction time was. So not only where your shot went, but also how fast did you react from the time you saw the threat.
Right.
And so for a lot of draw type stuff. And we also, what's interesting, there's a camera that watches the shooter from the master station.
For training purposes.
Exactly. Just like they can play it back on a golf course and say, well, your swing was a little off. In this case, they can say, well, you know, your draw was a little off. You should have moved to the right, moved to the left. It's very realistic, and then you can get yourself looked at in the future. We're also working on something now, too, which is remote training, where people that are skilled elsewhere in the United States can watch it and then give feedback remotely.
So we're talking with Pete Kelly and Bill Satterberg about Shooters, a new business where the three of us are involved with. We're real excited about. We're unveiling it this weekend at the Outdoor Show. It will be in the seminar room at the Outdoor Show. It will only be closed from noon to 2 on Saturday today, so after 2 o'clock or anytime Sunday. You want to stop by and give it a try. It's really cool technology. Really neat idea, too. We have gift certificates.
Right.
For starting April 15th, I mean, think about this. You got Mother's Day coming up. We've got, like, there's home
invasion. Do you want your mother to have a gun?
There's home invasion. My mother, yes. Home invasion scenario. So we can have, when we're talking about having a ladies' night where they could come down, you've got people crawling in windows, up dark stairwells, and they can literally, where else could you practice?
Sounds like that? My dating years.
Where else could you practice this, though? I mean, that's really nice. So Mother's Day presents, Father's Day presents, you know, you can buy gift certificates, have some league play. But it's going to be today and tomorrow at the Carlson Center. So you want to stop by. It's, you know, I think it's $5 to go through about 30 rounds. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's reasonably priced. It's a lot of fun. We're just going to tease you with a few of the scenarios we've got. I'm looking forward to it.
Craig, so, can you tell us how you came up with the name?
Shooters? And the logo? Well, yeah, the font looks very much like another word that ends with O-O-T-E-R-S.
It's a bar, isn't it?
Yeah, Hooters. We just put an S in front of Hooters and thought, well, it's kind of
going to be there comes
fun.
A lawsuit.
Yeah. Our slogan is, it's the second most fun you can have indoors, right?
Right.
So leave that to your imagination.
Bill's planning on billable hours here. Yeah. Hey, you know, I think something that's interesting, too, and I don't know people that might be listening to the show, who aren't involved necessarily in firearms, that you can, and in the future we hope to start using this for like de-escalation training. It
yes.
has scenarios in there that are non-lethal.
Right.
That you could actually do scenarios for that would allow you to use batons or spray gun.
Taser?
Taser,
tasers, yeah.
I don't think we'll go there because it seemed a little complicated and awkward to me. But the idea of the de-escalation training.
Sure. That's a big thing anymore now.
I think that could be very useful to people that are teaching.
And there's so many scenarios. You get the guy that's about to go postal in a hospital, you know, and right. how to react to that without
well, that,
without
or a shooting situation. That one scenario that was so great is you're essentially the person coming back from the bathroom that had to cover the front desk, and when you got back, there's a guy there. And by the way, these are not cartoonish. These are real actors in these scenarios.
Two girls on a dock.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to start. You'll be able to go online to shootersalaska.com. You'll be able to book your time. We're working on all that. We'll have all that fired up. But we're going to officially start April 15th. We'll be at the outdoor show this weekend. So stop by and check it out.
Come in the back. It's in the back right.
Yeah, to the back of the right. Yeah, it's the little seminar room. A lot of people have been there. They've got two seminars between noon and 2 today. So here starting at 2 o'clock today, you'll be able to get in there and shoot and just have some fun. It's really, really cool technology. And what I like about this company, I asked them when we were looking into this, I remember saying, what's on the horizon that you're most excited about? And they've got some really cool stuff coming to enhance what's already great technology. Talking about the IR stuff.
Augmented
reality. And you can literally be in a situation and then all of a sudden something appears in front of the screen that looks just like it could be a van, a Loomis van. It could be smoke coming in. It could be anything. So they have the ability to enhance these scenarios. But anyway, we're looking forward to it. So that's Pete Kelly, Bill Satterberg, myself, in a business called Shooters. So if you're interested in it, stop by the Carlson Center. Give it a shot. There you go. I like that. Okay, Fairbanks. Well, that's the show for today. I appreciate you guys coming in and talking about the new business. We will be back next Saturday with another episode of the Compo Outdoor Show.
You have been listening to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compo's Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.